The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Intermittent fasting and finding out from a dietitian whether it works. What is the science behind it? Should people be doing it? Is it a long-term option? Are there any impacts on your body beyond maybe losing weight, if indeed it does that for you? So that's coming up a little bit later. Before any of that, though, we're going to turn our attention back to Trump and his tariffs, because just under 4 hours left until we learn from the Rose Garden of the White House exactly what tariffs he is going to impose on products being imported into the United States. Mark Little is an entrepreneur and broadcaster, and he's with me now. Mark, happy Liberation Day.
Kieran, I was just listening to intermittent fasting, and I'm thinking that's exactly how we should apply our attentions to all the stuff coming out of the US. It really is a matter of just paying attention to the important stuff, right?
Maybe until lunchtime every day, you skip breakfast and you skip any mention of Donald Trump. Is that it?
Yeah, and I think, listen, he is loving this, isn't he? This is exactly the way he wants to rule, by spectacle. We're all wondering whether or not things would be bad or even worse. And that's exactly the kind of volatility, I think, that many Americans who voted from love about him. He's someone who just projects power and strength, and his craziness is actually an attribute. So in so many ways, Trump has won before he announces anything tonight by essentially making us all make these binary choices between whether this is going to be bad or it's going to be absolutely terrible, whether in the short term there's pain, and the long term, maybe he'll fail. So it's all these binary choices he sets us. And I think that's just the wrong way to look at today. And no way to diminish the impact this will have, whatever happens. But I think for Ireland, the rest of the world, the question now is about the long game here. And can we repurpose our vision on that long game and stop paying attention to what Trump is best at, which is spectacle?
Yeah, he's a master tactician. What's up for debate is whether he's a master strategist. Well, what is the long game, do you suspect?
You know, it's funny. I think here's another one of those times when he could be right. It could be wrong on the tactics and right on the strategy. Like in the tactical sense, there is no way that tariffs will do for the American people what they wanted, which was reduce prices. There's no way that you're going to get a growth in the American economy when tariffs are going to start squeezing those businesses that rely on an international supply chain. So in the short term, we know that tactically this can't win. However, strategically, if you take from his big advisors who say to him, just force every single one of these governments, when they taste the tariff, to come to us begging for an individual deal. And that is the strategic goal here, is to force everybody to come knocking on his door, either in the White House or, more importantly, down in Mar-a-Lago, where his advisors have this idea of the Mar-a-Lago Accord, where individual leaders will go to the American White House in residence, in his summer residence, and essentially do a deal with them on trade, and then allow him to start devaluing the American currency, which he reckons is a key to reindustrializing America. So this is a strategy. He thinks that essentially by being volatile, severe right now with pain in the short term, in the long term, he's going to force the hands of world leaders to sacrifice their alliances and deal individually with him, because he is all about the art of that deal. So that's a strategic goal. The biggest problem is he is fighting against history, not against strategic or tactical failure. Like the two big issues I think about my kids in 20 years' time when they're telling their kids about this moment in history, they're not going to talk about tariffs. They'll be talking about China's rise and the rise of super intelligence. Maybe the last couple of years before these machines are not as intelligent as us. And with that in mind, Trump is doing everything to make sure that America fails. You know, in China right now, they're investing heavily in science. He's cutting back scientific research. They're investing in sustainable energy. He's cutting back in subsidies for sustainable energy. They are looking to do deals with everybody. And Trump is trying to pull back from the world stage. So whatever China is doing right now is the story of the future. And what Trump is trying to do by making America industrial again is try to go back to the 1980s, like he's in some DeLorean, taking him back to the era of Reagan. It's just not going to happen.
It's kind of fascinating. It's the mid-90s is when we started talking about the looming Asian century. And, you know, that's what you're talking about there to a degree as well, that Trump is hastening that prospect. Do you think he care? Do you think on some level maybe he realizes that that's an inevitability, and that's why he's talking about the spheres of influence version of global politics? Yeah, listen, China's coming, I can't do anything about it. You know what? Let them have most of the world. I'll take Greenland, I'll take Panama, and I'll take most of the Americas as my sphere of influence.
No, I think he's looking for two things. First of all, is the fact that the United States, because of the major corporations in Silicon Valley, still has a chance of dominating the future.
Okay.
And the second thing is, I think he's looking for a grand bargain with China. Both the United States and China really do need each other to export their goods to. So there is that prospect at some point, a bit like Richard Nixon with China back in the late 60s and early 70s, was the conservative that could go there and do the grand bargain. Now, I would fear that for the world, the idea that these two nations that are leaning toward autocracy in the case of the US and certainly are there in the case of China, dominating the rest of the world is very bad for us. But I think if we take China as an example of industrial and economic policies going forward, that's where I think Ireland can start to, you know, as they say in the States in their sports metaphors, go where the puck is going, not where it is right now. So again, investing in science and high technology, making sure that you're looking out to do a deal with everybody now, not invest solely in trade with the United States. And most of all, I think, is to shore up alliances like the European Union. So in Ireland, we do have to band together because we have a chance to set the pace of technological change, not just with regulation, but investment in the kind of technologies that are going to dominate the future. And I think when you look at the people that are being bullied right now by Trump, like the Latin American leaders, you know, they may do the deal with Trump right now, but the one thing they're doing is looking to rebalance themselves and their trade with the rest of the world. And that's, I think, what any successful nation is going to do, is be a little bit more like China, but most of all is to just give up right now on Trump himself. And, you know, my fear would be that the Chinese and the Americans come to a realization that the world is theirs to divide. But I think heavily looking forward to the future right now, rather than waiting to see just how bad things will be at 9 o'clock tonight, you know, is the stuff of an exciting vision of the future rather than simply this reactive vision that we have right now.
If we are to, we'll stick with your metaphor, go where the puck is going, not where it is, and we look at the emergence of, you know, the Asian century and China's role in the world and its growing role in the world, does our economic model, can it pivot without fundamental change?
Well, the fundamental change, I think, is just by doubling down on where we know, and it's not about geography, right? It's about innovation. What are the innovations that we know over the next 10 years will reshape the world? You know, we're worrying about the number of jobs that might be lost because of an impact on our trade with the US. The real issue is what happens to employment when huge sectors of our economy become subject to automation. How do we prepare for that? How do we prepare for the challenge of sustainable energy in the age of a super intelligent machine? So these are the questions that are both obviously very threatening and they're very scary to think about. But whoever unlocks these secrets to those challenges that will be written about in the history books in 20 years' time is going to be the rising nation in the world today. So it's not geography, and it's certainly not the strength of Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump has taken away scientific research funds to the point now where just today there's news that people responsible for fighting against Parkinson's disease are now unemployed because Donald Trump has decided he doesn't need to invest in science. So whatever he's doing and whatever sectors he's ignoring, I think that's where the opportunity is for us. But even for people who are in a, let's say, not a high-tech environment, if you're currently right now looking to the rest of the world, every single country in the world today, bar the United States, is your opportunity. Rebalancing toward Latin America, toward Africa, toward China itself. They're the opportunities, even for businesses that don't have the ability to innovate as fast as those investing in and looking to technology.
Does the environment currently exist in Europe to allow that type of innovation to flourish or to percolate?
Well, I think we do down, you know, Europe at the moment. I mean, Europe's in a stronger position than it was, you know, perhaps when it comes to things like jobs and employment. And I think certainly at the moment, the kind of galvanizing effect in terms of defense that the earlier spats over Ukraine have had, I think will galvanize also, you know, the focal point for scientific research, for example. I mean, not to say that we'll attract all that talent that has now been thrown to the side by Donald Trump, but the idea that Europe could become a focal point for scientific research on the margins of the future. That's, I think, one of those areas that must be, according to along with defense, be front and center. I mean, remember, the internet or the World Wide Web itself came out of a scientific research project, CERN, with a British scientist who created something that's probably far more consequential for a lot of the other innovations that we see coming from Silicon Valley. So we're in a time now of rapid change. The greater the uncertainty, the smaller the action that may have an impact on the future. So that's one of the benefits of living in this exponentially faster society. It's that small changes can produce outsized impacts in the future.
But Tim Berners-Lee was like those nuclear scientists working in Cambridge back in the day, and ultimately all of that kind of innovation across the Atlantic to the States. And I guess that's the criticism sometimes made of Europe, and it has been made most vocally in the wake of the inauguration when we had the broligarchy surrounding Trump, and people were openly asking the question, you know, where's the European Facebook? Where's the, you know, the European X? Where's the European Amazon? Are they fair questions?
Well, they're right inside those headquarters that are sitting in the Grand Canal Dock in Dublin. Right? So I'll give you an example, right? When I was at Twitter, Twitter had a bunch of layoffs. I was one of them. Three companies were formed out of the layoffs in Twitter that one year that are now very successful in Ireland. One of them is Jim and Coffee. So, I mean, we have all the right people in the right place in Ireland who currently are working for those big technology companies. Now, these are people who are primarily Irish, but also people who have come to Ireland to make a better future. So we have all the people we need, all the smarts we need. I think one of the areas we're lacking in is in kind of indigenous scientific research, you know, funded properly by the state in partnership with these big companies and with, you know, the innovation. I think one of the things I'd like to see is Enterprise Ireland, for example, have really changed their focus a lot in the last couple of years and are realizing that we focus not just on creating companies, but also scaling them internationally. So the right kind of public-private partnership, well-focused at the people currently working for the big tech companies and the right sectors, for example, quantum computing or sustainable energy. You know, this is where we have all the raw material. It's a question of how you put it together.
So the strategic bear trap we need to avoid, I take it, given everything you've said, is approaching this looming trade war with a view to restoring the status quo and thinking we can go back to the way things were and just continue on.
Well, let's be very clear about it. I mean, that's been supercilious for me to say, well, just focus on the future. Don't worry about now. I think that the biggest need right now for policymakers is to have that ability to hold two contradictory thoughts in their mind without going crazy. Number one, it does matter that we have a relationship with Trump, that we can soften the blow of this trade policy. But most importantly, at the same time, we look at this as an opportunity for growth in every single trading market bar the United States. We do all the things the US is cutting back on right now, investment in the future. And we look at China and see how it's actually leading the way in terms of relationships and investments across the world. So they're the things to keep in mind. There's no binary choice right now. People who think it's a yes or no answer are the ones who fall victim to what is an increasingly, you know, accelerating future.
Mark Little, entrepreneur and broadcaster. Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us. In the last few minutes, Micheál Martin on Taoiseach has put a post up online. Ireland does not believe in tariffs. Ireland hasn't started this. We will work with the European Union. The government's fundamental objective is to protect Irish jobs. Hillary in Cork, Micheál Martin's own Cork, says Trump is cutting education and research in America. Where is the skilled workforce going to come from when all the pharma move back there, as he hopes? Yes, pharma, etc. is in Ireland because of tax, but also for the high performing workforce. Another listener, Will, who's in Limerick, says Trump can only win if European leaders go looking for individual deals for their countries. That's exactly what he wants. If Europe does anything other than showing a united front, then Trump has won and the European Union is finished. Well, thank you for the assessment.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.